Harold Camping wrote a book entitled, We Are Almost There. And on the front cover of that book, he said, with no apologies, it's the intent of this book, to warn as many people as possible about, look at this, the abundant biblical evidence that the end of the world is almost here. It's interesting that he could find any biblical evidence that the end of the world is almost here, let alone to be able to say there was an abundance of it. And so no doubt you saw some of these signs, some of these billboards that began to appear all over the place, even flyers that looked like this one that said the end of the world is almost here. Look at the big words. Who said that the end of the world is almost here? Holy God will bring judgment day on May 21st, 2011. And Harold Camping said, there is abundant biblical evidence to support this. And so, not just in this nation, but around the globe, billboards started going up. You've seen them. I've seen them here. I've seen them in Texas. I've seen them in Tennessee. They're all over the place. And I've got photos here of some that are in other countries. Thousands and thousands of billboards. Millions of dollars were flowing into this company to announce that May 21st, 2011 was the day of judgment. And somehow he had also determined and was announcing that not only was May 21st the day of judgment, that for some reason 5 months later, on Janice Maloney's birthday, no less, on October 21st, 2011, that the end of the world was going to come. It's interesting that he thought there was any evidence that the world was going to come to an end soon. And it's interesting that he was able to find any kind of a gap between the return of Christ and the end of the world, and how he was to estimate and to precisely state it as being 5 months later. All of that to me is very fascinating. But let me share with you the part of this that frustrates me the most. Are these signs with words that say, read the Bible, and then with these statements that say, the Bible guarantees it. Judgment Day is coming. It's one thing for an individual. It's one thing for a particular group of individuals to claim and to say that the day of judgment is coming on May 21st, 2011. It takes it to a whole nother level to say the Bible guarantees it. Because now, all of this media hype, now all of this attention that has been drawn to this date, to this individual, to this group, and all of the snickering that you could hear yesterday around the globe, snickering at the whole idea, yeah, it really didn't happen, is not just snickering at this man, it is now snickering at this book, whom they have said the Bible guarantees. This book says it's going to happen, when this book says no such thing. Now our job as Christians has become that much harder, because now people have been taught erroneously that the Bible guaranteed something that never took place. I don't know how well you can see this. This was the best image I could find of this particular billboard. But it says he is coming again with you can't hardly see it at all, can you? Three camels over here. I knew it was pretty lousy. With supposedly these wise men on these camels. And the point of this is, the wise men knew, I guess their idea is the wise men knew that Jesus was coming. Boy, they didn't understand that passage either. And then they've come up with these billboards and these bumper stickers that said, no one knew. But notice the website on these billboards. The wise men knew, Noah knew, we can know. Jesus is coming back, they said. He's coming on May 21st, 2011. Not only does the Bible guarantee it, we can know it. That's interesting. Because when you pick up this book tells us a lot of things that we really can know. This book lays out all sorts of truths that we can know, but guess what? It also tells us that there's some things that we cannot know. And one of the things that the Bible puts in the category of the things that we cannot know, Matthew chapter 24 and verse 36, Jesus said, of that day and hour, how many people know? No one knows. In verse 42, he said, no one knows the hour. In chapter 25 and verse 13, he said, neither do you know the day or the hour. You don't know when the time is going to come. How can they come up with a website that says we can know when the Son of God said no one knows? Of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels. Jesus said not even the Son, but the Father only. If God is the only one who knows when His Son is going to return, how can any man put a date on it? How can any man put a time on it? 6 p.m. By the way, how interesting that they precisely picked the day. Jesus said, you do not know the day. They precisely picked the hour. Jesus said, you do not know the hour. And then they said, but it's going to be at 6 p.m. in each time zone. So Jesus' coming was going to happen 24 times, apparently, yesterday, at the top of every hour. And here was one statement that came out. That's why God invented the internet so that everybody around the world could see it. Jesus said, no one knows. Because Matthew chapter 24 and verse 44, the Bible says He's coming at an hour you do not expect. You know how we knew Jesus was not coming yesterday? There were a whole bunch of people expecting Jesus to come yesterday. Guess what? The Bible guarantees that He wasn't going to come because Jesus said it's going to be in an hour that you do not expect. Mark chapter 13, verse 35, Jesus says it's going to happen, but you don't know when the time is. You don't know if it's going to be at evening. You don't know if it's going to be at midnight. You don't know if it's going to be at the crowing of the rooster. You don't know if it's going to be in the morning. It is going to happen suddenly. When we pick up the Bibles, you know what we can know? We can know that we cannot know. That's what we can know. And you know what? That's okay. Because my Heavenly Father knows, and that's all that matters. Jesus said, no one knows. One of the last things He said to His disciples before He ascended into heaven in Acts chapter 1 and verse 7. Jesus said, for unto you it has not been given. It has not been given to you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has put into His own authority. How interesting. How bold. How audacious for us to claim to know times or seasons that Jesus says God has put in His authority and nobody knows them. We can know that we cannot know. But this morning I wanted you to look at some other things in this regard that we can know. We can know for certain that life on this earth is going to end. You are not going to live on this earth, for at some point your life on this earth is going to end in one of two ways. It may be in death. Death is certain. Now, the Bible doesn't say death and taxes are certain, but it says it pretty close. What's that verse, Gorman? Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27. It's appointed unto man once to die. God told us that life on this earth is not going to last forever. It's going to have an end. It's appointed unto man once to die. The wise man Solomon in Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 5 said that the living know. You know what they know? They know that they're going to die. And the only thing that could prevent that, the only thing that could keep you from dying, is if Jesus were to come back first. Just as certain as we know that death will end our life, we know that Jesus is going to return. When those apostles stood there in Acts chapter 1 and verse 11, and they were looking as Jesus ascended into heaven, those two angels came and stood beside them and said, "Why are you standing gazing up into heaven?" This same Jesus, the one who you just saw elevated, taken up into the air, and because this same Jesus will so come in like manner, guaranteed promise. Jesus said in John 14, verse 3, "I will come again." Peter said, "The day of the Lord will come." It's promised, it's guaranteed. The Bible guarantees our life is going to end, either in death or by the return of Jesus. But what we know is that the timing of that is uncertain. Do you know when you're going to die? Anybody? Anybody have a clue when you're going to die? The Bible says that our life is but a vapor that appears for a while and then vanishes away. You don't know what year you're going to die. You don't know the month. You don't know the day. You don't know the hour, the minute, or the second. You just know it's going to happen. We don't know when the Lord is going to return. Jesus said it in Matthew 24, in Mark 13. Peter said it in 2 Peter 3 and verse 10. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 2 that the day of the Lord will come how? How is he going to come? As a thief in the night. As a thief in the night. It's interesting that Harold Camping thought that he knew when Jesus was going to come. Has anyone ever broken into your house? Did the thief let you know that he was coming? Did you know the year that he was going to come? Did you know the month? It would have helped out if you had known the month, right? You could have been ready for those 31 days. Did you know the day? Maybe you didn't know what hour, but did you know the day? Did you know the hour? Did you know the minute? The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. As much as we don't know when a thief may come, we have no idea when the Lord will come. The timing is uncertain, but His coming is certain. And God tells us what's going to transpire when He comes. God has appointed the day. Of that day and hour, no one knows, only the Father. God has picked out a day. And Hebrews 9 and verse 27 says, "There is an appointment. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment." We know what's going to happen when we die. God has appointed that day. Acts chapter 17 and verse 31. God has appointed the day. He has picked it out, the day on which He will judge all of mankind. And on that occasion, Romans 14 says that every last one of us, every last one of the 6+ billion people that are currently alive on this earth, every last person who has lived from this day back to Adam and from this day forward to the return of Christ, all of us will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. That's what I can know. I can know He's going to come back. I can know my life is going to end. I can know that I'm going to stand before Christ on the day of judgment. You know what I also know? I need to be ready. I know that if I'm going to be there, that I need to prepare myself. Chapter 14, verse 12 says, each one of us. Who's that? Each one of us. Is anybody going to escape? Each one of us will give account of himself to God. Are you ready to do that? If your life were to come to an end right now, if your life on this earth were to come to an end right this moment, whether by life or the return of Christ, are you ready to stand before your eternal judge? Are you ready to stand before Christ? Are you ready to give an answer and account for the way that you've lived, for the things that you've done, for the words that you have said? Every one of us will be there. Every one of us will be called to give an answer. Are you ready for that? You know, if you're a Christian today, if you're a Christian today, that means at some point in your past, through the faith that was in your heart that Jesus is the Son of God, you made up your mind to turn away from sin, to turn away from wrong, to repent, and to put your Lord on in baptism. When you were baptized, all of your sins were washed away. When you came up out of that baptistry, you were ready. When you came up out of that baptistry, clean as a newborn baby in the eyes of God, not a single solitary sin, you were prepared for judgment. But some days have passed since then, haven't they? Have you had to remain prepared, or was that one day enough? Did that one day guarantee you entrance? Or does Jesus say that we need to remain in a constant state of readiness? Jesus says, "Watch therefore, for he's coming at an hour you do not expect." Read Matthew 24. Read Mark 13. Look at how many times, especially Mark's account, look at how many times the word watch is found there. Open your eyes. Watch what's happening. You've got to be ready and remain in a condition of readiness for the Lord's return. You may have been ready on that day in which you were baptized. Are you still ready today? We can know that he's coming. We can know we're going to stand in judgment. We can know that we're going to have to give an answer. Are you ready for that to happen? You see, when we pick up our Bibles, we can know that when we read what God says, that he's not kidding around. We can know that when I read the Word of God, I can take it to the bank, that it can be accepted 100%, not with any question, not with any with anything being held back. I can know that when God says it, that he's not kidding around. I can know that when God says that he wants this book, that he wants his word to be our only guide in life, God's not kidding around. When God says, whatever you do in word or in deed, do all by the name of the authority of Jesus Christ, he's not kidding around. He's not saying that's a great idea. God's saying that's the only idea. That's the only path to go in life. When Paul says in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 8, if anyone comes to you and preaches any other gospel, what does that mean? Oh, there is the gospel. There is the faith that was once for all delivered. And Paul says, if anyone comes to you and preaches any other gospel than that which you have received, let him be accursed. God was not kidding around when he said, this is our only guide in life. God was not kidding around when he said, don't follow man-made doctrine. There were a lot of people who were surprised yesterday. Not because Jesus came, but because Jesus didn't come. Because they had been following a man-made doctrine. And God is the one who warns us. God's not kidding around. When Jesus said, here were these individuals who were teaching as doctrine the commandments of men. That's what Harold Camping and his group were doing. They were taking man-made doctrine and teaching it like it was God-made doctrine. When they start saying the Bible guarantees it, they're saying this is not what we teach, it's what the Bible teaches. But there is no such teaching. God says, he who transgresses, goes beyond, and abides not in the doctrine of Christ. There's only one guide. 2 John verse 9. He who doesn't abide in the doctrine of Christ, he does not have God. I can say I've got God. I can claim that God's on my side. But if I've gone beyond what the Bible teaches, I don't have God. Only he who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. And so the warning in verse 10 is, if anybody comes to you and does not bring this doctrine right here, don't receive them. God's not kidding around when he says, don't follow man-made doctrine. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes unto the Father but by me. You're not going to get to heaven on man-made doctrines. You will only get to heaven on God's eternal plan. God's not kidding around when he talks about obedience and faithful living. When Jesus said in Matthew 7 and verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. He wasn't kidding. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father in heaven. God says, here's the word of God, it's got to be obeyed. When God says that as Christians we are to be steadfast, immovable, always abounding. Christian, is that you? Child of God, are you always abounding in the work of the Lord? God's not kidding. God's not making a mere suggestion with those words. That's the will of God for our lives. God's not kidding around when he requires genuine repentance. Not some worldly sorrow. Not some worldly sorrow Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians 7 where, you know, I'm sorry that I got caught. You know, I'm sorry that that was a bad idea, but I'll probably go and do it again. That's worldly sorrow. God is not kidding when he says, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. God wasn't kidding when he says, he now commands all men everywhere, Acts 17 and verse 30, to repent. To get away from the world. To get away from sin. To turn our back on that and say, I don't want to serve self anymore. I want to serve God. God wasn't kidding around when he said that baptism is absolutely essential for salvation. Do you know that God said that? When Jesus said, of that day and hour, no one knows. Is that hard to understand? When Jesus says, of that hour, you don't know. When Jesus says, that time, you don't know. When Jesus says, you don't know if it's evening, if it's midnight, if it's the crowing of the rooster, or morning. Is any of that hard to understand? Jesus said, it'll be at an hour you don't expect, at an hour that no one is ready for. Is that hard? Is it hard to understand those words? Those are pretty simple words. Let me give you some other simple words. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. That's pretty simple, isn't it? God wasn't kidding when he said that. Repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. That's not hard to understand. I need to believe, Mark 16, 16. I need to repent, Acts 2, 38. I need to be baptized in every one of those verses. Arise and be baptized. Why, Ananias? And wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. God's not kidding around when he says, I've got to repent. I've got to be baptized. He was not kidding around when he talks about heaven. When God says that there is an everlasting place of eternal joy, an everlasting place of rest prepared for me, he wasn't kidding. And aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that when you read the Bible, you can know about heaven? Aren't you glad when you read your Bible that you can know that one of the things that Jesus will say on the day of judgment is, "Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you." That Jesus will say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord." Aren't you glad that your Bible tells you about heaven? That God tells you what your goal is. He tells you what your reward is. For something to set our sights upon, knowing that this life, the sufferings of this present age, are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed, Romans 8 and verse 18. But just as God was not kidding around about heaven, God was not kidding around about that place of eternal fire. That place that is described in Matthew 25 and verse 30, where he says, "Cast them into outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Where he says, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. These shall go away into everlasting punishment." God's not kidding about obedience and faithful living. He's not kidding about heaven and hell. God has laid it all out for us, and folks, we can know it. We can know if we'll just pick up the Bible. One of the things that was interesting about the teachings of this Harold Camping Group, and I don't know if this was kind of a backup plan, if it was kind of there to kind of save them in case it didn't happen. But one thing that they taught, and even something that was being reported repeatedly yesterday, is that they were gathering together. All of these people who believed Jesus was coming back. All of these people who believed that they were right in the eyes of God. They believed that they were Christians. They believed all of that. But what they said was, "Jesus is coming back, but we don't know which one of us he's going to take. Because he's only going to take the saved people. And we don't know if we're saved or not. So, you know, he might take some of us, but he might not take the rest of us. Because we don't know if we're saved or not." Do you know that when we pick up this book, we can know? We can know if we are saved or if we are not. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13, John says, "I'm writing these things to you, you faithful Christians, so that you can know that you have eternal life. If you continue to walk in the light as he is in the light," chapter 1 and verse 7, "you'll have fellowship with him and God will continue to wash away your sins." You can know if you're going to heaven. If you have obeyed the Lord, if in a faithful heart you have turned away from sin, if you've confessed the name of Jesus with your lips, if you have been baptized into Christ, not as some proclamation, not as some show to mankind, but in order that through that act, you might have all of your sins washed away. And if after coming up out of that water grave of baptism, you have walked in newness of life unto this day, if you have walked faithfully with the Lord, you can know that you're saved. The flip side of that is also true. If you have not done that, then you can know that you are not saved. 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 8 says that Jesus will return in flaming fire. Return in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and who do not obey the gospel of Christ. Have you done that? You can know if you're going to heaven or not right now. And if you don't know for sure, come down these aisles as together we stand and sing.